Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Well, now that we are in the home stretch of spring, I want to have a serious discussion about the need for us to think about our fragility as leaders and then strengthen ourselves so that we can actually reinforce what it is about us that makes us leaders. And more importantly, have a discussion of how you can grow your own strengths with the support of those around you. To do that, I want to explore a few key concepts. The first is a reminder of who we are. I haven't brought this up in a few episodes, but we are all leaders, because a leader is anyone who has influence over another person, and that makes us perpetually a leader. The second is what type of leader we are, and that, my friends, as we know, is the buffalo, an animal that when faced with a storm does one thing, charges into it in order to get through it fast and optimistically. The next thing I want to explore is us as leaders and our need to practice a very critical behavior, reflection. As a result, on this episode, I'm going to share with you my learnings from one of the most fascinating people I've ever had lunch with, which means I have to tell you a story. A few years ago, I was sent to Washington, D.C. to represent the state of Wisconsin at a national STEM conference at the White House, where our job was to collaborate with all 50 states and our territories and have a discussion to help design and guide the science, technology, engineering, and math standards for all kids in the United States in the future. We had a reception at the White House, and then the next day, we were at the National Science Foundation for a day of discussion and work. It was fascinating. I was surrounded by giants in the field of education, science, technology, engineering, and math. At lunch, we were divided up at tables randomly, and I sat down, and to my great surprise, I was amongst magnificent people, huge people in the field of science. I mean, not people I'm normally with. I was at a table with an astrophysicist. I mean, you know, the people who calculate within inches how to launch and return from space. Math I can't even pronounce with the little squiggly lines and stuff like that. There was an astronaut, a policy advisor from the White House, a policy advisor from the Senate, a representative from a major airline manufacturer who was an engineer there and designed rockets, a mathematician, and a NASA spacewalk trainer, and me. It was amazing. As we sat down for lunch, they asked us to do an introduction activity, and they said something that kind of set me back. They're like, everyone just take a minute to do a miniature resume introduction. Start with where you went to school, and then what your current job is. You each have 5 minutes. Well, I had to close my mouth with my hand as I heard about the people in front of me and their educational routes. Well, I went from high school to West Point to Stanford, then to MIT to NASA, and then to UC Berkeley for my second PhD, all degrees in things from things I never heard of before. As a matter of fact, I had my phone out under the table Googling the words. I had a Fulbright scholarship. I'm a Nobel Prize winner who teaches at the University of California, Berkeley. I mean, I was stunned. And when it came to me, they were like, oh, yeah, we've heard of Wisconsin. And then the astronaut said, hey, I think I saw your house from space. And everyone laughed, both nervously and admirably. So once lunch settled in and I got more comfortable with the fact that I was the only non-scientist at the table, conversations continued. We all kept quizzing the astronaut. And finally, he said, hey, everybody, no offense, but every lunch I go to, I'm kind of embarrassed by how much attention I get. So let's do this. I'd like to get to know each of you as well. So how about each of you get to ask me just one more question, and then we can talk to and about everyone else. And in my head, I was like, very nice management technique. And then I began thinking about my question. One person asked about drinking and eating in space, to which I learned a ton. Another person about how his body felt when he came back and experienced gravity. Another about internet access in space and how they upload and download things while in orbit. And then one person asked a question that left me thinking a lot. A woman who was one of the liaisons to the National Science Foundation and was extremely intelligent and curious asked him if he could share his experience when he had the overview effect. Now, everyone at the table that is, except for me, immediately understood what she was talking about, the overview effect. And why wouldn't they? They were all scientists. However, I'm sitting there kind of clueless, and then I was given the greatest five-minute education of my life. He explained that he had read about it and been told about the overview effect by other astronauts, and he was skeptical at first that he'd even experience it. He explained that when you're on Earth, you see your surroundings and you make judgments about your relevance to your environment. So, he explained, when you're in your house and you're with your family, that's your whole environment. It seems immediate and it seems big and it makes sense. Then one day you go up a tower when you're a kid and you can see for miles and you begin to realize how small you actually are, especially when you get to the top of the tower and you look down and you see your family miniature. Well, then you go up into a skyscraper and you realize that you are really small and maybe even not as relevant as you thought. And then one day you get into an airplane and you see the earth below and the lines that are actually roads and the hills that are actually mountains, and that you begin to see for the first time that you're small in all ways, but part of a big area. All this happens to you and you grow your perspective of your size and your impact. And then he said something that was just so cool. He said, then one day you strap into a rocket and you blow right out of the atmosphere, lose your weight and step into the space station, and you see Earth for what it is, a tiny sphere in a magnificent open space. And it doesn't even make sense to your mind. You're so far away from the Earth that it looks tiny. You can't see anything. He said, you look down and you see the Earth, the moon, and they're just dots. You see no boundaries created by man between countries. You see no conflict, nothing. At night, he said, you see little spots of light in the biggest of cities, but you can't see man-made things like the Great Wall of China or a bridge. Nothing. He said, just blue, green, brown, and gray, and a little bit of white. It's beautiful. But the overview effect is simply when you realize that the giant planet we live on is actually small in comparison to the universe, and it's fragile. It looks like a marble that could be pushed in any direction. That stuck with me a lot, and I think about that often. The woman followed up with a few other questions, but I don't remember that. I just sat there thinking about what he must have experienced when he realized how tiny we are in the relevance of the entire universe. How astronauts before him were amazed and came to the same conclusion, the ultimate human reflection, to see the Earth from afar and realize, even as large as we believe it to be when we're standing on it, we are still a very small part of an incredibly large system. And that leads me to today. How are you reflecting from afar and then engaging others in your journey to ensure that someone is watching over you, your fragilities, and helping you grow and be accountable to the much greater responsibilities we all share, which is to be leaders for everyone at every moment and those who are always in front of us. Now, like always, I have a reflective exercise for you so that you can develop your own overview effect based upon your values, and as a result, it may help you stay balanced in this giant universe where on a micro level each day, someone is depending on you. I have shared with you before what I believe to be a critical part of each of our development, and that is to be coached by confidants, people that we trust and people who are willing to ask us hard questions about our mindset, our behaviors, and or someone who is not afraid to correct our course. But how do we identify those people in the different contexts of our lives? I mean, I have my wife, Megan. She is the ultimate humbler for me, and I say that in a positive way. But I can't always turn to her and ask her for guidance on things that may not be relevant in her world, or I feel an urge not to burden her with the things that weigh upon me in other environments, you know, like gravity. So who in your life can provide the overview effect for you? In other words, put you in a weightless environment and show you a new perspective that helps you grow and keeps you moving and grateful for what you actually have. So here is the overview effect exercise I want you to do. Get out a piece of paper and draw three columns. And we'll create this for you so it will be in the next TH3. Label the first column three people I'd work with anywhere. In this column, I want you to identify the three people that you would build a business with, a school with, a new company, or a nonprofit. Whatever. People that you can trust that if you went anywhere with, you knew at any moment they would take care of you. But who are the three people in your life that you would grow and build a life around and they would allow you to propel, not just personally, but together, and most importantly, grow your leadership? Now, in the second column, I want you to write out the shared values that you have with those people, and just three or four of them. In this column, identify the three or four common values you share with the group. For example, we all strive for excellence. We value integrity. We strive to be innovative. Three terms, four terms, but don't overthink this one and write a dissertation. Just put the three values, or four. Now, in the third column, I want you to put three areas that you need to grow in order to be better. In this column, identify what it is that you need to grow within so that you are able to move forward successfully in your leadership. For example, I need to be more organized. I need to say no to projects I'm not excited about or I just can't do. I need to be patient with myself and others. Those types of simple statements. Now, here's what you do next. Once you've got it all written out, you provide the overview effect for other people and you empower those around you to coach you and explore the possibilities of growing them on the journey with you. What I basically did for you was I tricked you into thinking about who are the three most valuable people in your life. And after you fill out the document, you have it. Now, you go and talk to each person individually. You tell them that you identified them as someone of great value to you and that you believe you share three values with them. Have that conversation and listen to the other person share with you how they see it and you and how they feel about it. You are, for the first time, introducing someone that you care about to a new perspective on and about your professional relationship. And, like the astronauts who see the Earth from afar for the first time, the people in front of you might not be expecting you to be so honest and upfront with them. Especially about yourself. Now, here's the real kicker. Once you've explained your perspective and shared your admiration for them and their qualities, then you share your weaknesses. Yep, all you say is this: hey, because I care about you and I know you care about me and we have these things in common, I need you to help me. There it is, the hardest words to say: help and me. You share with them the three areas you want to grow in yourself, and then you ask them to help you be better, to hold you accountable. And here's the key to the process. You are giving permission to someone around you to critique you, to stop you, to interrupt you, to lead you. Because you will get busy. You will start moving. You will get focused. And you will fail to grow and learn because you will probably be repeating the same mistakes. And if the people around you who love and care about you don't have permission to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, crazy buffalo, you're going sideways on us here, well, then who could? In the absence of identifying for others what you are struggling with, in the absence of telling others they need to help you, and in the void of the weird 21st century don't offend anyone culture, we are all hesitant to stop and tell someone, hey, you are on the verge of self-destructing. But if you allow others to implement an overview effect on you, to support you from afar, and they have permission to introduce you to yourself in a new way, I'm telling you, that is how we grow, and that is how we grow others. Buffaloes charge. Yeah, they do. But they also employ a process that opens the door so that others may say to you, hey, you're going sideways. Here is how this looks from my perspective, and you asked me to remind you when you were about to make a weird, emotionally based decision, and I think you're about to. That is something much easier said with permission from you for the other person to confront you than when you feel you are about to put your entire friendship on the line by asking or telling someone they're going sideways. Giving people permission is critical. So this week, as you move forward, reflect. Find your three people, identify your common values, and then share your weaknesses with them so that you now have three people coaching you in three different ways so that you can be better, so that they can step back and see you from a totally different perspective and they have the permissions needed to help you grow. So let's do some smart thinking. List the three people you would take with you anywhere. Describe what you all value and list your opportunities for improvement. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please rate and share this episode on your platform and share it on your social media platform. Please make sure to give this episode to others as they're heading into summer so that they can think about and they can do these activities to ensure that they are growing and failing forward. Finally, as we head into our day, remember the importance of your impact on others. Remember that we have the responsibility to grow and learn from all around us. Oh, jeez. I forgot to tell you the best part of the story. Are you wondering what I asked the astronaut when it was my turn? Oh, it was such an amazing lunch. And just like that lunch, I'm forgetting some details of the day. But I have always been fascinated with space. Growing up in the space exploration era, men walking on the moon, women flying the space shuttle, a space station orbiting us. I mean, I skipped school in grade school to stay home to see the space shuttle launch so I could be there in front of my little 9-inch black and white TV in my room. I remember putting a hot washcloth on my forehead to try to convince my mom I had a fever. Space has always fascinated me. So when the astronaut told us we could only ask one question, I was already ready because I had been wondering about outer space since I was little. When we were in school, we were taught about space, vacuums, continuations, weightlessness, the heat from friction and reentry, the power of gravity on your body, all that kind of stuff. But I always wondered the same thing. So when everybody finished up their conversation about the overview effect, he turned to me and he asked me, well, you get the last question. And I said, Captain, I'm ready. And I just smiled and I asked him, what does space smell like? The brain trust at our table looked at me slightly quizzically and then immediately turned their heads to the astronaut. He said, no one has ever asked me that before. And then he pondered for a moment. At first, I thought I lost total credibility at this table of literal monster brains. But then he smiled and said, it smells like burning metal. Because the space station is orbiting at 15,500 some miles per hour, and there are a lot of mineral particles smashing into the station. He then went on to explain how he never thought about it, and then the table of scientists started to discuss why it smells that way, what the minerals were. And I just sat there smiling at the simplicity of his answer. When they finished, he simply said to me, Ted, I miss that smell. Each day, we have the opportunity to improve who we are and what we do. Use the overview effect process to your advantage so that you can grow and maybe instead of looking for complicated ways to approach your problems, engage people you trust that you share values with and ask simple questions. It is, after all, what the overview effect is at its very core, simplicity. The Earth is a very small part of a much larger universe, but we are all so absorbed in what we're dealing with that we too often forget to engage those we trust with helping us to see how we can grow and improve. So this week, do this exercise. Identify your confidants and tell them how they can help. That will allow everyone to be, well, it allows everyone to be a buffalo for you.
Oh, it's a little wild. There's a cold wind blowing. Been walking for miles, I'm out on my own. When I'm tired and I'm weary and I wanna go home, take me through sunlight, through rain and through hail, down through the prairies or out on the trail. Tell me a story or sing me a tune. When I was a wreck, you were the light in my room. When I was the ocean, and you were the moon. Wade through a gentle sky, while the dark days of summer keep passing me by. It's not what I planned, when the water is rising, you hold out your hand. Take me through sunlight, through rain and through hail, soon. When I was a wreck, you were the light in my room. When I was the ocean, and you were the moon. Storms sweep along the plain, call me by name. I'm busted and hollow, and fold is all I wanna do. But you'll be there too, the star I could follow. Lost in a little glow, I could tell I was dreaming. I'm moving so slow, and though it's getting late, there's a calm in the air that I can't seem to shake. Take me through sunlight, through rain and through hail, down through the prairies or out on the trail. Tell me a story or sing me a tune. When I was a wreck, you were the light in my room. When I was the ocean and you were the moon. When I was the ocean and you were the moon.